Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, for a well-deserved but nervy win against Villa last Saturday, this week I'm joined by Peter Jones, Johnny Pearl, Tony Cullen and Mick McQuillan to talk about what was a traumatic day, almost overshadowed by the traumas of travelling over and back on Saturday. Nevertheless, didn't take away from the win, but we've had a lively discussion this week on the events of the day. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Tony.
Good evening, Mr. McQuillan. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good stuff.
Any of the rest of them in?
I'm expecting Tony, TC, Peter, Jones, Johnny is going to join us as well. Gary texted me to say he's busy in work after his luxurious week off in the south of Europe and Spain. So he's obviously making up for last time now, raking in his next million, you know. So he'll be catching up on you or even me maybe one of these days.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what we'd call this week's one, but geez, I tell you, the airport to give us plenty of titles anyway, but doesn't seem to be getting any different anyway from what we're reading in the news traveling.
You know, it was really since Freddie Pearl over in the UK, you know, Birmingham, and we knew that Manchester was in a bit of a state for the last
one. Yeah, but I assume the likes of Newcastle will probably be, like, we've been in Liverpool and that, it's been okay, so I assume Newcastle will probably be, should be quiet on Saturday coming back, yeah?
I reckon Newcastle's not, there's not much, there's not a huge airport, you know?
No. They have a few international, do they?
They do. But at the time, like, it's a 20 past four Saturday afternoon, which I don't think would be a very, very busy time.
Well, I'm flying back at 12. Okay. I'm on a 5 to 12 midday flight.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, so, hopefully be all right. Hey, Tony. Hey, Peter.
Tony. Mick, how are you?
Hey, Tony.
Grant, we're just talking about travelling over on Saturday morning. Peter, what flight did you go over on? Were you on a late flight on Saturday?
No, we had an annual weekend with my brother-in-law and my sister, so we went over Friday morning.
All right.
I can tell you, we were on the 10:40 flight. We left here at 5 o'clock to beat the security queue.
Yeah.
And we got fast track, but anyway, we got through fairly quickly as it happened. But the bloody flight didn't go out until 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Jeez.
With no at all. So, like, we were 3 and a bit hours behind schedule.
Yeah.
And we had booked in a particular place and all of that sort of stuff that we kind of had to forego. But so we had a weekend, in other words. We didn't come back till Sunday night.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Didn't get to see you anyway, so. But, you know. But, we were on the early flight, 7:15. And Mick was in the airport at 4:20. Texted me to say queues were huge halfway down the check-in desks, and it was a good, well, it was 5:10 till about 5:50 to get through. And Adrian came down from Belfast and he booked fast track, just to be told me on Friday night he booked fast track to be sure, and he took longer. He took over an hour to get through, you know. So I mean, it's crazy stuff.
I got a free coffee, Tony.
Huh?
You got a free coffee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't think he had time to get it though, because I think by the time he got through, he was down. He was in the queue to board the flight. So, they should give the free coffee when you're starting the queue to keep you awake. I'd say.
I think the big problem on Saturday morning is that they scared the shit out of everybody, and there was people. I arrived at the airport about 4:10 for the 7:10 flight. Just the way the buses were. So, I think that everybody arrived way early at the one time, and that's what caused a few of the problems.
Well, it,
because what was very noticeable to me when I arrived there, the queues were huge, but nobody losing their shit over it.
Yeah.
There was all queues, so of course everybody then had plenty of time. But in fairness to them, they certainly got through it. I think it was just under the hour.
Yeah.
Took me to get through there. Yeah. But we kept moving all the time. But there were a couple of changes which I thought were very significant. And I thought what they done was, they seemed to have had a section, an area, check-in area for kids, for families.
Yeah.
And that was a huge difference, because what happens is a lot of the cases that there's families here, there, and everywhere, and to try and get through the security with them, with bottles and all that, can hold everything up. But they seem to have that right. And then at the check-in, in fairness, at Dublin Airport, I can't say much about them this year. We got caught at the beginning, the first game of the season, but we have been fairly good ever since. But I thought what they done was they enlarged the area where they check in luggage. Yeah. And I think that's a huge problem this year. This crack of extra baggage coming through and going on the plane.
Yeah.
Because you give people more room to store stuff in bags, and that's what they do.
Bring more stuff,
and then there's more stuff being checked, and it's been returned. It's been brought back because they haven't had their stuff out properly. But I was impressed with how they got through it on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
the PC version, Mick, is it?
You what?
That's the PC version.
I tell you, look, I'd be very critical. Like, if they're wrong, but what I look for, every one of the check-in queues were open. They have been open maybe all since the first game of the season. And that's a good sign. The big problem has been, as Tony says, there's no replacing stupidity with people going up and putting bags through and knowing fairly well they're going to have to be rechecked. And that was causing lots of the problems, Maybe people are getting more savvy,
I noticed that family lane all right. Yeah, I'm thinking I might bring the grandkid with me the next time. Get through a bit quicker. I think I'd be popular anyway for get away for the day. But Johnny, what flight were you on?
I was on the 7:15 one, so I was kind of similar to Mick. I came at about, I don't know what it was, but 4:10, and when you walk in the door, geez, the fright you got was unbelievable. Fucking people panicking, and it was just a mess, really. I've heard of people staying in the queue 2 or 3 hours, but I think I was queuing about an hour and 10 minutes, so
yeah,
it wasn't too bad,
Yeah, I think, I don't know whether part of it is Ryanair is sending out emails now. They were sending out up to last month, to be there 2 hours early. Now it's 3 hours. I mean, when I came through, scanned the boarding pass into the queue for security then, and there was a guy standing there waiting for someone. He said, he's waiting for someone, and he says, what time's your flight at? He said, 8:05. This was 6:15, So, I mean, he'd obviously come out 3+ hours before the flight. But, I mean,
I'd say a lot of people as well are doing the fast track. Like, the fast track lane just wasn't moving at all.
No.
I was looking at it, and it was stood still.
And I have to say,
the fast track, to me, it's nearly as redundant as the bloody priority boarding. All you get for paying for priority boarding is standing on the stairs waiting to get onto a plane.
Absolutely.
I have to say, I thought the people that were in the fast track queue were very patient, because it didn't seem to move for all the time. For the 20 minutes we were snaking through, in reality, it probably walked about 500 meters, but you actually about 40 meters down it, but you could see the queue was there, and it didn't move for the 20 minutes, half an hour.
It was fine on Friday. I'd say we got through in about 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But funny enough, Sunday night coming back, Birmingham was a mess.
Yeah.
And we had back booked for Birmingham, and we got through fairly quickly, but my sister and her husband didn't think they could book fast track, and there was an enormous queue, and I was sure they were going to miss the flight. But actually, in Birmingham, they called them out. They said, anyone on the Ryanair flight from Dublin, book the queue and come in the express, and they did, in fairness.
But they
got on.
Yeah, they've been doing that for months. Any time we've been there, and when it's been pretty bad, and they do that as soon as the flight goes red. But people were trying to jump the queue then, and they were saying, no, your flight has to go red on the screen. But that's not, it's not really a solution, because what they're doing is they're bringing 20 people in who are going to miss their flight, so they're delaying the next flight. It's just kind of a knock-on effect,
But the difference of Birmingham compared to Dublin is, Birmingham have only four bloody... check-in desk open, and about 10 or 12 closed, and that's permanent. That's all season. They just don't have that. They don't have the people there. But like we got in, Tony. We were in at whatever it was. We were 40 minutes waiting on the plane.
Yeah.
There was no one to bring the plane in.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
It happened a couple of weeks ago, we were half an hour.
Yeah. Look, we were there, and there was two elements to it. The plane landed, pulled up, and it was at the waiting there because they said the gate that we were to go to was occupied. So that was about, as Mick said, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then when we got to it, they'd no ground staff to put out the steps. They couldn't put the steps out until the ground staff got there. So we were another 15, 20 minutes. As Mick, you remember, there were lads we were talking to beforehand in the bar,
yeah.
Liverpool fans. Yeah. Like, the 7:15 flight, they were on a 9:05 train from International to Lime Street, and they missed it, you know. Like, I mean, that's unheard of before, like, from all the years we're travelling, that you get a 7:15 flight, you'd be in Birmingham Airport at 8, you'd be in the train station at 8:30 maximum to get your train. And, like, I mean, it just, Birmingham in particular, it seems to be at all levels, not only security, but, as you say, ground staff, everything. Seems to be.
What about coming back? We had to wait in the bloody thing along with sitting on the plane to go back out.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. I actually came up with a phrase for the day, Mick, you know, and it was that what we spent 3/4 of an hour waiting for, you know, it was de icing on the cake.
I've been known to de ice the plane, that's it. I've been known to de ice the fucking plane. Probably 3/4 of an hour, wasn't we waiting on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I missed it, but I ended up getting a bus at 10:50. I left the house at, I got a 4:20 bus on Saturday morning, and I got home at 10:50 Sunday morning, you know, for a day trip.
I beat you there, Tony. I grew up at 2:00, and I was at the 3:00 bus, and I got back in here at, 2:10 on Sunday morning. But anyway,
yous weren't on the train from Wolverhampton to Birmingham New Street, were you?
No, we weren't on the one with the comedy hour. No.
Yeah, I was on that, and there was a 2-hour. We were there for 2 hours. They said because people were ringing alarm bells, but I seen on Twitter after, apparently there was huge fighting down in some of the carriages between Aston Villa and Wolves fans.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, Charlie, what happened was they pulled the bloody brake a few times, but then
there
was fighting because the doors were opened on the track and that. But we were lucky that we were late. Well, not late. We decided to come back on later than that. And what happened was they were able to bypass and got us into Birmingham New Street on a different route.
Yeah.
And we got on to the train that was heading international, and it was delayed. Everything was delayed, but a good few of the lads who was caught that train you were on ended up, they were packed like sardines. It was a 14 carriage train. They were all going down to the bloody NEC for there was some, I don't know who it was on, Silhouettes or something. Stereophonics were on, that's who it was, yeah.
Stereophonics, but yeah. We were offered 2 tickets, actually, weren't we, on the train?
We were. I was offered a bed as well.
You were what?
Over the bedroom, weren't we?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Like, I wasn't going to mention that, but now, since you brought it up, there was a lot of offers flying around in that little doorway, all right, yeah. But we were man enough not to accept any of them.
We were too
scared, one the other.
I didn't fancy her.
No. Anyway, we leave it at that.
Room we were getting, Mick, that was a problem.
Yeah,
whose room we were getting, that was the problem.
Yeah, the two guys didn't look particularly, they looked a bit dodgy, all right. Well, anyway, but before we talk about the match, I was going to talk about meeting up with our old friend from Sligo before the game, who generously met us for a pint, as he did the last time we were at the Wolves Villa game at Molineux. Tommy, Mick, at your invitation, met us in the Leaping Wolf.
I know, Tommy, fair to you, so he didn't rhyme you. A week or two ago, and so we meet up and have a point or two. He's a former Wolves supporter, turned Villa, and that. But he's come a bit. I think the business. What would you call it? He's losing it in the head in later years. You know, when you leave Wolves to head to Villa, it's not a very good sign. But when he seems to think that the European quality team they have at the minute, he certainly shows us. His age, that, you know, the dementia is fucking setting in there, you know.
Well, he did. Yeah, he He seemed to be happy, but his prediction was that Villa would win 2-0, you know. But, well, he said the score would be 2-0, so maybe he meant Wolves would win, I don't know. But we were assuming he meant Villa. But the way he was talking about the team beforehand, like, you know, it certainly didn't transpire that way. And I haven't seen them playing particularly well any time I've seen them lately. But I assume the lineup was more or less with Neves out, lining up in the game for the team was more or less what we expected, really, with him. Peter, what do you think?
Yeah, I suppose it was with Dan Donker slotting in to midfield and the 3-4-3. I mean, yeah, I suppose that Kundal could have been brought in as an extra midfielder and played the two. As it happened, you know, even, dare I say it, Dan Donker stood up to the plate, I thought. I thought he made himself. I thought he had a very good game. And, you know, we missed Neves. You'd always miss Neves because he's such a fantastic performer and at the minute playing right out of his skin.
Yeah.
Well, I was very, really worried, you know, without Neves and without Jimenez. But fair play to Dan Donker and Moutinho. Like, they had three to contend with, and they did bloody well, I thought.
Yeah.
Throughout. And so, it was as expected, given the circumstances. Maybe Marcel for Ait Nouri was maybe one that maybe wasn't anticipated.
Yeah.
Marcel also, I thought he did very well, and, you know, made the game unfold quickly. The second goal, he was instrumental.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very...
Yeah.
He's really doing well. Yeah, I think he has to be up there as one of our player of the season now. I think Sad the way he's been playing this season. But Johnny, what was your view on the match in general?
Look, you can't have any complaints when you beat Aston Villa, like, you know. But just the way we played was fantastic. I'd say it's one of the best performances all season. It's not a problem, but the game should have been over at half time. Like, you know, we had so many chances in the first half that just kind of, like, the penalty was whatever, ridiculous decision in my eyes. But, like, even Cash at the end, like, he scores and all of a sudden you're throwing away 2 points from an unbelievable position.
Comfortable, yeah.
But no, we were, everyone wasn't below a seven, you know. There were some fantastic performances.
Definitely. Yeah, it's that kind of it's something we've had in ourselves, I think, for as many years as I can remember. That, you know, we never seem to comfortably see out a game. We kind of, you know, 2-0 is probably the worst scoreline we can settle on is 2-0, because the last game we were at when we played Villa, I think they got a goal. It was even later again, they got a very late goal, but it's uncomfortable.
This team would be transformed literally with a natural goal scorer.
And
because we wouldn't have any squeaky bum ends, and we'd find that, like, we should have been at least three up at half time at least. And you just can't seem to put the knife in when the door opens. While Fabio was, I thought, excellent. I mean, he showed up very well for everything. He still missed his one-on-one. And you can't imagine that the good ones miss those kind of things. Like,
yeah.
Like, he just said it, you know.
Peter, I think, I don't agree with that, because let's look at since this year came in, 2022, we're the third top scorers in the league.
Yeah, I've seen that stat, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're the third top scorer in the league. Yes, we're well clear, believe it or not, of the forward team in the Premier League. We scored that many goals. I think our problem is making decisions. And in the first half on Sunday, and it was some fantastic football. Football. But twice, Silva got into great positions where if the donkey should have passed it to 1-2 for the tap-in. The triangle should have been, another ball should be laid off to him. It's making making the decision that the final pass is what's sort of killing us.
Yeah.
And because Fabio had everything going for him on Saturday. He'd done everything that was required. But when he worked hard, he supported. And when he got into those positions, the ball wasn't laid to him. There was once or twice there, he got quite... animated with one or two of his teammates for not squaring it off to him. And I think that is the little problem at the minute. And look, if the they picked out the final pass, we could have been 3-4 nil up at half time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Said we're making the chances.
Yeah.
And I think that will come. And then I was looking at match of the day and they're highlighting something, was the way we broke from our defence. And people say we've played 3 or 4. We weren't playing 3 up front. We were playing with the one man up front, and we had the midfield and the defence flooded. And we broke at pace. There was 5 and 6. We were like Leeds. Were going at us. When we broke with huge numbers, and we were getting them in the box. But unfortunately, things were probably a bit rushed, and maybe a cooler head. When we make those sort of chances, we should be putting away. But that's, you know, that's where I think it.
Yeah.
I don't care. We can get a prolific goal scorer, but he mightn't have the attributes that Jimenez, and he mightn't have the attributes that Silva has, the work rate they have in and what they contribute on the defensive end. That's just my thinking of it, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, Mick, you know, thanks. I was hoping to get through tonight without mentioning Leeds, but you ruined that there anyway, so still having nightmares about it. But it's funny, like, well, we're scoring goals and we can't complain, but like when you're saying about decision making, like, it's about, like, Pudence to me is great. I love watching him playing. He gives away the odd ball, but even the first goal on Saturday, I thought he should have had a shot well before he ended. He got
That Pudence should have had the first. Pudence should have scored the first goal, but he took that extra touch.
Yeah.
And later in Trincao chance, he again just delayed that little bit, just taking that. So what I'm saying is, the real good ones take those chances early.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point. So, and you have to, because the speed of the defender you're dealing with in the Premier League is really the optimum. So that's my only point. I agree with Nick, by the way, in terms of Dendonker squaring that one. You know, perhaps Silva or whatever. But it's just a general observation. If we could only be that little bit more clinical, I think we'd be.
Because in the second half, it nearly cost us towards the end, where Pudence had the ball and he cut inside. And I think we had 3 players in support. And he played the ball straight to the Villa centre half, and they broke down the other end. They could have easily scored from it, you know, which would have really messed things up. But so all in all, you know, it was a great win. But we've had a few games like that lately. I mean, the Leeds game, we should have been there. I mentioned it now. We should have been probably 3 or 4 up at half time as well. And you know, but I think the sending off in that game probably had more effect than anything else. But
But Tony, just as you're saying that, like when you see what Silva gave us on Saturday, now it begs belief that he didn't even play him the previous week against Leeds when we were down to 10 men.
Yeah.
You know, that I still find that hard to get over, because that 3 points against Leeds could be absolutely crucial.
There's no point trying to worry about them at this stage, though, Mick. You know, they're gone. They're well gone. But I think with Silva, at the end of the day, when if you're looking at, you know, you have Bully on 306 goals and you have, you know, all our centre-forwards, Silva's not scoring goals, you know. And that's what a centre-forward, unfortunately, is measured on at the end of it all. You know, at the end of the season, you know, people are starting up threads on social media. When's he going to get his first goal this season, you know? So, I mean, do you think it's, with a few games left, is it worth sticking with him, or put Jimenez back in again?
Might have Jimenez as shirt. I mean, but his overall display was excellent. I have to say that. But I wonder, in terms of goal scoring, you have to give him a chance, because he is improving all the time, and he's obviously bulking up a bit as well, and even his pace has improved. So, and he's young, and you know you have to give him the chance. But for the rest of the season, I don't know. I just thought after his Saturday, in fairness to him, I thought Jimenez might be on the bench for Newcastle.
Yeah,
I'd give him the shirt towards the end of the season. I think, like with Fabio, I actually think he's quite a good finisher. I think just with strikers sometimes, like his finish, I remember his finish last season against West Ham was a quality finish, arrowed into the bottom corner.
Yeah,
I think with strikers, when they don't have a sort of run the team, like even his chance when he kind of robbed the ball off Mings, like a striker that's playing every week doesn't really think about that. They just hit it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, with him, even the second half of his shot, he struck it beautifully. the first goal he gets, and I know he hasn't scored yet, but it would give him such a confidence boost, and he wouldn't be thinking about those opportunities. He'd just be naturally just putting them away, you know, that sort of way.
That's what I find about him.
You have to stick with Silva, in my opinion. Yeah. Because the chap is only 19. We talk about Staple. Staple was about 23, 24, 25 before he scored his first goal for Wolves, wasn't he? He wasn't young. This lad is only 19.
He's not going to get 4 years, Mick.
Come here. I looked at him on Saturday there, and he bullied the Villa defenders all over the place. He got stuck into them everywhere, and he did everything. Nowadays, the goals will come. There's no doubt about it with the kid. And as Johnny says there, once he gets off the mark, that's all he wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He gets off the mark, he'll be flying. You know the kid.
And I have to say, when I see him, he looks like a fella who scores every week. You know, every time the camera goes, or you see him, he's full of running. He's enthusiastic. Nothing seems to knock him. If he misses a chance or whatever, he's just, the next ball that comes along, he's gone. Like, so someone was saying, I think at the weekend there was a ball played in and he dummied it, that he should have actually taken it on. You know, but again, two decisions to be made, and he left it rather than taking it. But he completely
opened up the Villa defence completely with the step over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if
he picked up the ball, he was going at such pace, he was going to go past any defender. But anyway, it was his decision, and actually the chance was created, and it came around the back to Dendonker, and unfortunately the square ball didn't come across the goal. So, but anyway, that's the way the cookie crumbled.
We're creating chances, and sooner or later, it happened against Watford where we banged in four, but sooner or later we'll be getting the goals that the chances deserve.
Can I just comment on something? We're typical Wolves fans, everybody is, you know, looking at it. But when this thing was put up at the weekend, and we were the third top scorer in the Premier League since the turn of the year, someone says, but I meant from a central position. Does it fucking matter where you score the goals from? What's that going in? You know what I mean? So now fellas are saying, but they have to come through a centre forward. You know, so let's be happy. We're knocking balls in the back of the fucking net.
No, well,
you know, and I'm fairly happy because I've watched the last two games and all eight goals are scored right in front of me in the North Bank goal net. So I'm happy as a big shit, except for what happened to the latest game, you know.
Yeah, but the thing when we were just one thing that was in my mind there, and we were talking was like when we're talking about goal scorers and I mean, we couldn't get through this talk about the Villa game without mentioning Johnny and his performance since he's come back from two horrific injuries. You know, people had wrote him off after the first one, and certainly wrote him off after the second. And I mean, he's been unbelievable in the last few games since he's come back, and that he's actually been able to last full games, you know. Do you know what you think of him?
Johnny?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. He's been absolutely a revelation. Like, the lad was never injured at all. In fact, if anything, he's added that goal-scoring touch. He was unbelievable. Did you see him wriggling out of that situation down? You know, Jesus.
Such a
down-to-earth kind of no-nonsense guy. You'd be delighted for him, particularly after all he went through with those injuries.
Yeah.
And I'm so thrilled. And my God, that was some finish. Like, he absolutely rifled it.
Yeah.
And very, very pleased with him. And it just goes to show you, like, now Semedo is back on the bench, and who was performing very well just before so we have a real good decision to make there. But I wouldn't see anyone displacing Johnny in that form.
No. Just to finish off, Newcastle on Friday night. Anyone prepared to predict how it's going to go? And we said Mick will be over there anyway. So, Johnny, what are your thoughts on Newcastle Friday night?
I think, without cursing it, I think we'll get 3 points. Newcastle, they seem to have, you know, when a new manager comes in, you get that big bounce, and then things kind of level off. I think that's kind of happening with them at the moment. Like, they lost 1-0 against Everton away when Everton were down to 10 men. That was a bad loss for them.
Yeah,
and then they conceded 5 against Spurs. So, like, there'll be huge chances there for us. And I think I think when we score away from home, we certainly have a very good chance to win the game, you know.
Yeah. Tony, I leave the word with you for predictions about Friday, because I know Mick doesn't do them anyway, and I won't put Peter on the spot.
Yeah, no, I fancy us. I agree with what Johnny said. I fancy us to get the 3 points. I saw the end of the Newcastle game and the Spurs game, and they got taken apart. Now, I know they got the first goal, and it was important when Tottenham got their first goal straight away afterwards. But they and the ref, and so many of the commentators were saying like they really improved defensively, but I didn't really see that.
Yeah.
Once it started going against them, they kind of caved in. So I fancy us for the 3 points. I think if we get the first goal.
Yeah.
We'll be on our way, as Nick would say.
Yeah. Very good. He says a lot of things. Anyway, lads, listen, it's great talking to you. Great to get a chat. And as you say, Peter, have you any games planned for between now and the end of the season, or is that it?
Don't. I think that's going to be it for the season. Unless something happens, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had 3 wins and a defeat, but I was very pleased. Really, we enjoyed. I had my brother-in-law with me on Saturday. He really enjoyed it. He got stuck in. He's not a Wolves fan, but he really got around on our side and hurt us off.
Good stuff.
And hopefully, we'll have a good finish as far up as we can.
Hopefully. All right, guys. Thanks a million.
Yeah, enjoy the game Sunday night. Or
Mick, see you Friday, Mick. Yeah, for more security fun. See you, lads. Take care.
Cheers, lads.
See you.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.